You know, I wasn't going to tell a hammy story, but Pastor Josh. It's not hammy. It's Pastor Josh. I'm not going to. I can't think of any good ones. We hiked the Grand Canyon together, which you've done that with a lot of people here. No? We went to Death Valley together. I've never been out west except with your pastor. I don't like to leave my county. It's kind of a rule I have. But I do want to show you a little bit about me because you probably hear the funny stories. And yes, I will ask him often, are you cheating on your wife? Or have you thought about cheating on your wife? And then I'm like, well, now you're thinking about it because I just brought it up. But I know that there has to be some people in my life to ask hard questions. And you need people in your life to ask hard questions. Because in a room this size, just so you know, there's probably at least two affairs. And what I love is you should probably talk to your pastors about it while I fly out next week. Anyways, I like to tell little stories about myself too, mainly, just so you get to know who I am. This is my family. I know what you're thinking. Thank God the children look like me. My poor wife, she tries. We've been dating since the 10th grade. Those are our four children. We have three girls and one boy. We are exactly the opposite of your pastors. But that's my family. We have a good time. That was taken in the fall. Anyways, so that you can take that off now. It's fine. There's some things I just want to tell you. I love this church. Like, pastor, your pastor's been coming up to my church for a long time because he sits on my board. I don't sit on this board, and you can't sit on each other's board, conflict of interest. But he gets to come up to me often, and I don't get to come here near as often. One, he says I'm a bad friend because this is my first time being here since this building has been complete. But I just come here, and I'm just in awe. Not just because the building is so cool, which it is second to none. I don't know of another church, and I've been in church, more churches than I can count. I don't know of another church that looks this way. But not only that, I don't know pastors like your pastors. They really are wonderful. I just had tacos with them last night, and it was just so cool to sit around. And they don't just talk about the church, and they rarely talk about the building. They talk about the people. And they love their people, they love their staff. And as Jeremy McKnight walks away, I've known him since Trailhead started. Jeremy McKnight used to come to Ohio and help us with graphics. He helped us build our first website. So our churches have been connected. Dave DeBlaycourt, he's something else. He's a good guy. One thing I love about Trailhead is everything's done with excellence, including your finances. I don't know about you, but I like to give to places where I know the money's being handled well. And Dave DeBlaycourt, man, he does such a wonderful job doing business administration, handling things. I was listening into the baptism teaching this morning, and Adam was in there, and he's wonderful. And these have just been people that have been part of Trailhead when it was meeting at a Ramada. And it's just cool to see where it's come and what it is now. And honestly, I'm psyched to see where it's going in the future, too. So, anyways, a lot of good things. Should they have listened to that? Take that. That was actually good stuff. Sheesh. Anyways, I want to tell you a little story. Kind of get to know me a little bit. Here's a Tuesday night. So last Tuesday at my house, my son and I made a fire. And we make fires often. If it's above 45 degrees and it's not raining, there's going to be a fire at my house. And I have 8 acres of wood, and I have a ton of down trees, so I cut a lot of wood. Me and my son split a lot of wood, and we make campfires. So we made a campfire on Tuesday night, and my wife came out, and she sat by the campfire for a little bit. Jake and I decided, it's my son, Jake, we decided that we were going to pass the football a little bit. Well, then he wanted to start kicking the football, because it's never just enough to pass a football with your son. So he kicked it, and I have a cedar tree. I have cedar trees everywhere. So he got this ball stuck in the tree, and it was pretty high, probably about to those lights up there. And he was trying to get it down, so he went and got a soccer ball, obviously, to get the football out. He couldn't get it, so I was like, oh, I know what to do. I went and got my son's axe. So my son has a smaller axe. I was like, it's weighted perfect. I can throw it up there. So I threw the axe up, and the axe laid up in there and got stuck in the cedars. And so I was like, well, I'm going to go get my axe because it's heavy. It's not going to get stuck. First throw, it gets stuck in the cedars. So now my wife's looking at me and she's going, you both are idiots. What is wrong with you? And so I went and got a tall ladder and I got my chainsaw that's on a pole. And so I started cutting it around it and it all fell safely. But that's just a story. That's like a normal Tuesday night in my life. My daughters were on the hammock playing something, I don't know, and my 15-year-old daughter is doing God only knows what. She gets her permit next month. So my life is really unique right now. We do have my church. I do pastor a church. We have 5 campuses. We're in rural communities, and another thing about me is I love the church. I really love the church. I don't get mad at the mega church, and I don't get mad at the country church. I love the church. I was in here this morning. I don't get emotional often, especially with Pastor Josh can cry at the drop of a hat. And I'm just like, what is happening? I've cried with him a couple times. I'm not going to tell those stories today, but you know, there's a little girl getting baptized today. Her name was Collins, right? She was at the very end of the line. I saw her mama on the floor praising God because her daughter was getting baptized. And I was thinking, that's happening all over the world. There are people getting baptized. Like, we're part of something bigger, right? So when I hear people being dogmatic to the church, I get a little frustrated because I love the church. I'm part of the church. I think the church is filled with people who are make mistakes. But if he waited for the perfect people to use, he'd be waiting a long time. So I love the church, and this is happening all over the place. At my campuses this morning, there's people that are praising God, and there's lives that are being changed, all because of who Jesus is. So I'm thankful for the church. And when I saw that today, I just got a glimpse. I was like, man, this is the church. It's not just happening at Trailhead. It's happening at the church down the road. It's happening in other countries. It's happening in other counties. And I'm so thankful for that. And lastly, before I jump into my message, I'm thankful for this. I look at my staff sometimes and I say, hey, guys, this is all I got. I don't have an idea. I don't have a thought. I don't have a belief system. I gave up all my rights to have other belief systems when I decided to follow Jesus. And he gave us this book. And this is the inspired word of God. It is 100% true. It has everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. It is all I have. So when I get up to talk to people, I do like to use scripture. I like to quote scripture because every belief system that I have hopefully is formed from this word of God. And if there's things that I don't like in the word of God, he never asked my opinion about it. So I still have to believe it, and I still have to believe it because my opinion isn't truth. The word of God is true. This is all I've got, and I love the Bible. I hate your phone. Hate it. You know why I hate your phone? Because I was doing a wedding one time with an iPad, and it died. I don't even remember what happened. Kind of blacked out. I memorized the vows. Josh, do you this day take Anna to be your wife? And then repeat after me. I, Josh. No, I'm just kidding. So it went out on me. So I hate technology. I hate having a phone. I want to go to a flip phone, but I don't because my wife says that would be stupid and everybody would call her instead of me. So no flip phones for me. But let's jump into the word. Open your Bibles to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. I want to go to Jonah chapter 1. Before that, can we pray real quick? Is that okay? Lord, as we open your word today, I pray that we'll open our hearts. Lord, we'll hear what you want us to hear. The things that will be said, Father, will be what you want to be said. And Lord, we won't just hear, but we'll allow the word to change us from the inside out. God, we lift you up. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to be reading. I'm in the New King James Version. I got to be honest, I'm not a big stickler on what version you use. I use the New King James because I've used it for years. This Bible got trashed and I got it rebound. So this is my Bible. If you use a different translation, I still think you can follow along pretty well. Verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai." I've been working all week to pronounce that right. I'm the worst Bible pronouncer ever. "Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. He went down to go to the city, and he ran from the presence of the Lord." You know, when I read this passage of Scripture, I look at it and I just think, what's happening here? Here we have a very simple thing. Remember, God doesn't normally ask our opinion or what we think when he tells us to do something. He kind of just says, do it. He doesn't ask, are you comfortable? He doesn't ask if you like it. He doesn't ask if you need to pray about it. I love that. Hey, can you help feed the homeless? Let me pray about it. Really? Hey, can you volunteer? Let me pray about it. Really? Anyways, whole other thing. But we have this, it says walk this way, and Pastor Josh told me that was the name of the sermon. But what happened was, is God told Jonah to walk this way, and he decided he wanted to do what? He wanted to go somewhere else. He wanted to go anywhere else. He wanted to find a boat, and he wanted to get out of here. So I want to tell you a couple stories today. I was going through a difficult time in my life, and I always like to give context. Sometimes people will say they're going through a difficult time in their life, and you're like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, my cat died. I'm like, all right. It's not super difficult. You can get a new cat. Anyways, got some real cat lovers in the house today. That goes over better where I'm from. Anyways. So, I like to have context, and so I went through this time period in ministry, and ministry has been good for me up until a certain point, and then it was more difficult. And I remember one of my really close friends in the church, he had a brain tumor, and he got a brain tumor. He got diagnosed in May, and I did his funeral in December, and yesterday, before I flew here, I went to a graduation for his oldest daughter, just graduated college. But I remember him looking at me days before he died, and he said, hey, man, will you watch over my girls? And I just said, yeah, you know, whatever I can do. And so one of his daughters works for me, and the other daughter just graduated from school, from college at Wright State University. And it was a really difficult season. I took him through discipleship. We hung out all the time. I'm an avid ping pong player. He was a ping pong player. We were buddies. And then 3 months later in March, I had a good friend of mine who was on the interstate, and he had a flat tire, and he got out to change his flat tire, and he got ran over by a semi. And all this happened in 3 months, and I was done. So I was going through a rough season. Okay, my cat didn't die, but I had some really good friends of mine that aren't with us anymore. And my other friend, he left his wife and 3 little kids. And these are all guys in my church. So I just kind of wanted to get away. I kind of wanted to quit. If you've ever wanted to quit, you're in good company. Peter actually did quit, right? He denied Jesus. Jesus was in the garden. He wanted to quit, but he didn't, right? So if there's any way. So as I'm driving up, so I decided I was going to take a little retreat. I think Pastor Josh had checked on me a couple times. I was struggling, and somebody invited me up to a retreat in upstate New York. So I go up to upstate New York, and I've never been there before. I always think of New York, and I think of New York City. I have no desire to live in a city. I have no desire to live And this is anxiety to me where you live. I drive to work and I might pass two cars, and that's going the other way. Okay, I don't go around them, but I'm about 4 miles from work and it takes me about 5 minutes to get there because it's just country roads and this time of year, all I got to worry about is tractors. So when I see other traffic around here and you have restaurants and you have people, it gives me anxiety. So the thought of New York City freaked me out. But I went anyways, but I went to upstate New York. Upstate New York reminded me a lot of Ohio. It's kind of country. But I was up there, and what happened was is I turned a corner, and I opened my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I was seeing something different. I knew where I was at, and I could see where I was driving, but it was in the springtime, and I saw all the fields ready for harvest. I saw all these fields. And there wasn't even a ton of fields in upstate New York, but I just begin to see all these fields. And here I am, I'm contemplating quitting. I'm contemplating moving to North Carolina to work for your pastors, or at least come and volunteer, like whatever I can do. Because I was going through a struggle. And I felt like here's what the Lord told me. He said, Justin, the harvest is plenty. The laborers are few. You're not going to give up. And I just remember crying, thinking, but I want to, but I don't like doing this, but this isn't fun anymore. My first funeral was an 80-year-old lady who had served Jesus her whole life. Easy funeral. My second funeral was a baby, and I struggled so bad. And my wife looked at me and she goes, hey, you didn't just sign up for the easy stuff. I told you, man, she's awful. So every time I go through something hard, I always think of my wife looking at me going, hey, you didn't sign up for the easy stuff. So it was a tough time, but I remember the Lord taking me, and I went to Matthew chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, turn there. I went to Matthew chapter 9. And if you'll look in verse 37. Matthew chapter 9. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. I believe this actually to be true everywhere we go. I don't think that this is specific to a certain area or a certain time. When I moved into my town that I started my church in is in a town of 1,500 people. And every pastor in that town told me, hey, this is a hard area. This is tough. A lot of religion, a lot of denominations. And I'm looking at these guys going, that's what you are. Like, what are you telling me? You guys are religious leaders and you're all part of denominations. But they were telling me how hard it was. But then I was taken back to the scripture again. But the harvest is always plenty. It's the laborers that are few. It takes people going out to bring in the harvest. It takes us doing something for a harvest to come in. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16. Sorry. Mark chapter 16? Mark or Matthew? I'm going to figure it out real quick. That's why I have my Bible and I don't depend on a phone. Sorry. My wife tells me I jump on that soapbox way too often. Nope, Matthew. We will get to Mark 16, though, but right now we're going to Matthew. Matthew 16 is a great passage of Scripture with Peter. If you ever wonder how we got a pope, it's from this passage of Scripture. The apostolic lineage always comes. Every pope comes from the lineage of Peter. Matthew chapter 16. Go with me to verse 18. It says, and I also say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus is looking at Peter, and he says, upon you, upon this rock, I will build my church. First of all, it's his responsibility to build the church, not mine. It's his responsibility to build Trailhead, not your pastor's. We do what we're called to do. But here's what I love about Jesus, is he puts hell on notice. I love to put hell on notice. I go into these rural communities. My heart is really for communities that are small. One of my churches is in a town of 1,500 people. Another church is in a town of 2,500 people. Another church is in a town of 8,000. Another church is in a town of 10,000. And then we have a mega town. We have a church in a town of 32,000 people. That's where we all go to eat, hang out, and watch movies. But I love that he puts hell on notice. And I'm just putting hell on notice. You should too. Hey, I'm building the church. I'm coming. The harvest is plenty. The labor, I'm going to be a laborer. And I'm putting hell on notice that I'm coming. And the gates of hell, he said, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. I get so frustrated when people want to whine about how the church is being hurt and the church is being persecuted and how we're being, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We don't even know what persecution is. We don't even know what hard times are. We can publicly come here and say, Jesus is Lord, and he's the only way to heaven. And I keep waiting for someone to cancel me. Yet, there's no way to cancel me. I have no social media. My daughter, she's like, Dad, you should get, I want to say Snapchat. And I just look at her and I think, why? Upon this rock, he looks at Peter and he says, the gates of hell will not. I really do believe that. Trailhead isn't going anywhere. I don't care what the economy does. I don't care what happens in society. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. Isaiah chapter 60, turn with me. I told you I have a lot of scriptures. Isaiah chapter 60. I know people are nervous because I hope you know what's coming. I hope you can tell that I'm pushing you to actually talk to people about Jesus. Billy Graham is one of my favorite human beings who has ever lived. I listen to him on YouTube, his old stuff in black and white. I love to see people come into relationship with Jesus. I love that Miss Anna said 40 people have accepted Jesus this year at Trailhead. Do you know how amazing that is? So I'm asking you, I'm pushing you to this point, right? To walk this way, to talk about Jesus, to spread the gospel, because the gates of hell. But when we look at ourselves, we think, well, I don't have what it takes. And you're right. You don't have what it takes. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. It says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. You don't have to go in your own strength, that you get to go and the glory of the Lord will begin to rest upon you. I don't know about you, but when I share about Jesus, I don't want people to see me. I want people to see the glory of God. That's what's going to rest upon you as you begin to get bold and you talk to people about who Jesus is. As he begins to call you to Nineveh, where's your Nineveh? You see, I see a church constantly fleeing. We show up to church on Sunday morning. We love this. We love to worship. But when we go to church on Monday, we're like, I don't mix the two. And we have to mix the two. This is my life. This is all that I have. And when I go, the glory of the Lord goes before you and it rests upon you so that when you're speaking, it's not you, it's God through you. They don't see you. They see what God has done in you. Go with me to Joel. Book of Joel. Joel's a great little book. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. I love this passage of scripture because I love that warrior on the inside of all of us. And I think it's there on the inside of all of us. It says this in verse 9. It says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. I just want to stop there. There's a big exclamation point there. In my Bible, it says, prepare. Do you have it? Yeah. How do you read that? Thank God I have my Bible. Okay. Wow. How did the worship team read it? Proclaim this among the nations. Prepare for war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. I love this. Let the weak say, I am strong. Do me a favor. Everybody say this. I am strong. And you have something on the inside of you. And it's not of your own strength. Because when you're at your weakest, that's when you're the strongest. There's something on the inside of you that's stronger than you could ever imagine. Go through to Mark. Mark chapter 16. I told you I was going to get there. Mark chapter 16. I think the worship team's coming back up now. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does that mean? You can talk. I mean, have you ever been with somebody on their deathbed? They only tell you things that matter. Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. He's only telling them things that matter. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does that mean? Wow. Come on. Wherever we go, whoever we see. So, remember, Jonah was told to go and he didn't go. So I want to tell you a story about me for just a minute. I was at Walmart. Now listen, for me, if you're ever at Walmart, it's just an accident. I was there, not under my own authority. I guarantee it was a Friday. Fridays are my day off, and that's when my wife is in charge. It's the only way I would have been at Walmart. And I want to explain to you what I look like when I go to Walmart on Fridays. I cut wood on Fridays. This specific Friday, I was cutting wood. I had on this flannel shirt that was ripped because I caught it in the chainsaw. Didn't touch my arm, though, thank God. I had on my square-toed boots, okay, because that's just what I wear to cut wood in. And I'm walking around there, and I have sawdust in my hair and a hat on, and I look like I'm ready to fight. And I probably am if the occasion arises. Nobody's smarting off to my wife that day. But I'm walking through the aisles of Walmart, and I have this Nineveh moment. There was this guy walking in Walmart, and I felt like the Lord said, tell him I love him. I was looking for Joppa. I wanted to walk the other way. And you know what I did? I walked the other way. I said, nah, that wasn't God. That was the Mexican restaurant. Every Friday, we eat Mexican restaurant. We only have one in our whole area. So, but I go down the aisle, and we cross in the next aisle. And I felt like the Lord say, go tell him I love him. Now, let me explain this to you, church. He and I were different. I want to be very sensitive how I say this. He and I were different. I told you what I looked like. I was cutting wood. The more manly I can be, the better. I'm okay with it. If I smell like sawdust or campfire, I am fine with that. So me and this guy were different. He had long blonde hair. He had a halter top on. He had a skirt. Fingernails and toenails painted with wedges. And the Lord said, tell him I love him. Man, where's Tarshish? I'm running, and I walk away. Thought I'm not going to see him again. Come down the next aisle. Every stinking aisle. The only thing that was missing is I was getting ready to swallow it up by a fish. Every time I'd walk by him, and the Lord said, hey, tell him I love him. And it took four aisles. And finally, I walk up to him. And I stand there and stare at him. And he looked at me too, and he's like, yeah, we're different. And I said, hey, I want to tell you something. And I could tell, man, he already had this chip on his shoulder. He knew what, listen, in my county, he sticks out like a sore thumb. I looked at him and I said, hey, God loves you. Man, he looked at me. He said, what? I said, hey, man, I feel like you're supposed to know God loves you. He started welling up. He goes, why'd you tell me that? I said, I don't know. I said, but I feel like that you should know that. He said, nobody's ever told me that. I said, well, it's true. He does. He goes, most people look at me around here and they just walk away. And I said, I did for 4 aisles. I said, but man, God loves you. I said, have you ever been to church? He said, no way. They're the worst. I said, well, I don't know about that. But all I know, man, is that God loves you. So I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, what do we do? I did my part, right? That's all God asked out of me. I looked at him, I said, hey, want a hug? Just crying, shaking his head, yeah. So here we are in Walmart. Everybody knows who I am in my town. And I'm hugging him. My wife, I didn't tell her any of this stuff. We're walking together at Walmart. She doesn't know I'm having an internal battle with the Holy Spirit. She looks at me and she's just like, I'm hugging. I'm just like, ah. Dude, people are walking by. I'm just waving because he ain't stopping. Here we are. We're just hugging. You know what I believe that happened? I believe that the glory of the Lord came on me in that moment. I don't know where he's at. I don't know what he's doing. But I love that the Lord laid that in me. And I feel like what we normally do is we run to Tarshish. We just run. And he's telling you, talk to your boss. Talk to your coworker. Man, talk to your kid's teacher. Talk to your friends at school. And we're just like, nah, I'm good. No, I'm good. I don't need to do that. He didn't ask your opinion. He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. We need to do what the word says. If I had one mandate on my life, it would be to tell every single person I can who Jesus is. But why are we running? We're too busy. We're too consumed with what's going on in our life. So here's what I got for you today. Is that this week, I challenge you. I'm not going to do an altar call. They kept asking me, are you going to do an altar call today? No, I'm not. We got a prayer team ready. If you need prayer, get down here after service. There's some wonderful people here to pray with you. But here's my challenge. Tell your story this week to somebody. It's so easy. People always tell me, I don't know what to say. I want you to tell your story in 3 parts. Who I was, what Jesus did, who I am now. It's so simple. Who I was, what Jesus did, who I am now. Preach the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. This is what we are called to do. Amen? Amen. You guys are amazing. Thanks for letting me share, Pastor Josh.
He's a trip.